sense. When generic insurance takes hold, one handsome man and one flightless bird are teaming up to save the world. Money. Their message? Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need. Their mission? Savings. Their relationship? Best friends. Say hello to Liberty Mutual's new spokes team. Doug.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer. State laws apply.
An official with the Taliban says their negotiating team has arrived in Moscow just days after President Trump declared a deal that had been nearly a year in the making to end the war in Afghanistan was completely off. Russia has been accused of aiding the Taliban. The state news agency says China will lift punitive tariffs imposed on U.S. soybeans and pork in a trade war with Washington. But Bill Reich, with the Center for Strategic and International Studies, doesn't think this will end the U.S.-China trade war.
Playing nice is better than yelling at each other. It doesn't alter the fundamentals, which is that the two sides are deeply divided.
President Trump is postponing a planned tariff on Chinese goods. Crews have now raised the charred wreckage of the dive boat that sank off California's coast. Federal investigators will now begin examining the wreckage to try and find out what killed 34 people. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
Democrats organized a fruitless effort to ban oil and gas drilling in a remote part of Alaska. USA's Chris Barnes has more.
By a tally of 225 to 193, the Democratic-controlled House on Thursday voted to reinstate a decades-long ban on oil and gas drilling in Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. But it's a largely symbolic move. While the Democrats hoped to reverse the plan by President Trump to drill in that refuge, it was authorized under a 2017 tax cut approved by the Republican-controlled Congress, and the bill to try to undo it now goes to the GOP-controlled Senate, where action on it is unlikely. And if by some chance it passed, President Trump has vowed to veto the bill if it reaches his desk.
Aquariums around the United States are helping to preserve coral species from the Florida Reef, saving them from a deadly disease that is killing major portions of the undersea ecosystem. At stake is the survival of the species on the third longest barrier reef in the world, which the U.S. Geological Survey says not only is dying, but also eroding. Scientists in 2014 found a new affliction, stony coral tissue loss disease, which was ravaging the reef. The 200-mile-long barrier helps protect Florida and the Keys from waves at a time when climate change is believed to be causing more frequent and more severe hurricanes. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
A day after the latest Democratic presidential debate, Vice President Mike Pence, speaking at a retreat in Baltimore, mentioned candidate Beto O'Rourke's stand on gun control.
You had leading candidates for the highest office in the land talking about taking firearms away from law-abiding citizens. Well, the American people deserve to know this president, this vice president, and these House Republicans will always stand for the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms.
Nearby the debates in Houston, police say an officer was shot. Police Chief Art Acevedo says four suspects also beat up a priest and nearly killed him.
This priest has indicated he was on his knees praying for his life when one of the suspects pulled the trigger twice. And for whatever miraculous reason, the firearm did not discharge.
This is USA Radio News.
Is it possible that an ancient mystery lies behind today's news? The events of the world, world leaders, even Donald Trump, and the events of your life. Could this mystery even reveal the future events that are yet to come? Jonathan Cahn, the New York Times bestselling author of The Harbinger, The Paradigm, and The Book of Mysteries, now brings The Oracle. Prepare to be blown away. The Oracle by Jonathan Cahn. Available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
Liberty Mutual Insurance presents. When generic insurance takes hold, one handsome man and one flightless bird are teaming up to save the world. Money. Their message? Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need. Their mission? Savings. Their relationship? Best friends. Say hello to Liberty Mutual's new spokes team.
Doug. Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer. State laws apply.
An official with the Taliban says their negotiating team has arrived in Moscow just days after President Trump declared a deal that had been nearly a year in the making to end the war in Afghanistan was completely off. Russia has been accused of aiding the Taliban. The state news agency says China will lift punitive tariffs imposed on U.S. soybeans and pork in a trade war with Washington. But Bill Reich, with the Center for Strategic and International Studies, doesn't think this will end the U.S.-China trade war.
Playing nice is better than yelling at each other. It doesn't alter the fundamentals, which is that the two sides are deeply divided.
President Trump is postponing a planned tariff on Chinese goods. Crews have now raised the charred wreckage of the dive boat that sank off California's coast. Federal investigators will now begin examining the wreckage to try and find out what killed 34 people. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
Democrats organized a fruitless effort to ban oil and gas drilling in a remote part of Alaska. USA's Chris Barnes has more.
By a tally of 225 to 193, the Democratic-controlled House on Thursday voted to reinstate a decades-long ban on oil and gas drilling in Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. But it's a largely symbolic move. While the Democrats hoped to reverse the plan by President Trump to drill in that refuge, it was authorized under a 2017 tax cut approved by the Republican-controlled Congress, and the bill to try to undo it now goes to the GOP-controlled Senate, where action on it is unlikely. And if by some chance it passed, President Trump has vowed to veto the bill if it reaches his desk.
Aquariums around the United States are helping to preserve coral species from the Florida Reef, saving them from a deadly disease that is killing major portions of the undersea ecosystem. At stake is the survival of the species on the third longest barrier reef in the world, which the U.S. Geological Survey says not only is dying, but also eroding. Scientists in 2014 found a new affliction, stony coral tissue loss disease, which was ravaging the reef. The 200-mile-long barrier helps protect Florida and the Keys from waves at a time when climate change is believed to be causing more frequent and more severe hurricanes. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Well, good afternoon. Sorry it's a bit late. Started the news a little bit later because the traffic on 31 heading south was horrendous. And, of course, the bottleneck near the hospital is always the problem. Frankly, I don't understand why they don't just have a right turn lane there. I think it would certainly be alleviate some of the angst that goes on when people are trying to get in and out from that right lane into the one lane, from the left and right lane when they're trying to get into the one lane. In any event, if you've been out today, you certainly know the weather has changed. It was very windy around the Round Valley Reservoir. Plants were blowing over and quite windy and cool. Today, the temperature was about 71 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low of about 56 degrees. And into Saturday, mostly cloudy, and then about a 20% chance of showers. So not significant. Chance of showers is up to about 50% tomorrow night. Then mostly sunny on Sunday and high of about 80 degrees. So that should be a nice day. And Sunday night, partly cloudy, mostly sunny on Monday, and then a slight chance of showers. So the day, the weekend, looks the best is a Sunday. And I'm Pat Smits. I'm here to talk about the law and just trying to figure out what to talk about today. There have been some cases that are rather interesting, but perhaps only if you're involved in this type of litigation, know somebody, or happen to be a family attorney. One of the cases, and it has initials, it's from the Appellate Division, RH versus SVK. In this case, and they use initials just so you understand, when the court in either published or non-published opinions, especially the Appellate Division, they use initials to preserve the confidentiality not only of the parties but of their children. And this is provided for in a rule of court so that the courts can do that. And in this case, what happened is the parties were married in 2013, one child born in 2013, and then the RH, who is of course the plaintiff, filed a complaint in the family part in Hudson County seeking a divorce. And at that time, the couple and their child lived in Hunterdon. Excuse me, I'm going to say this because it's not Hunterdon County, it's Hudson County. And while the divorce proceedings were pending, the defendant moved to Italy. Now, there was a divorce settlement, so approximately a year later, the parties, there was a dual judgment of divorce incorporating the parties' matrimonial settlement agreement. Now, this is an MSA. Very often we designate, at least some of us who are older, designate it as a PSA, a property settlement agreement, because traditionally that's what we did do, is finalize a property settlement agreement. But, of course, a property settlement agreement included all issues, so a number of attorneys now like to use the term MSA or matrimonial settlement agreement. Now, pursuant to their agreement, the parties share custody of their child with the defendant designated as a parent of primary residence and the plaintiff as parent of alternate residence. The child spends her time alternating between New Jersey and Italy. And what happened then later, the plaintiff moved to Monmouth County. So there was definitely, the defendant was designated as a parent of primary residence. However, they do share the custody. So what happened is in 2018, the plaintiff apparently was intending to seek relief under the matrimonial settlement agreement, moved to change the venue from Hudson County to Monmouth County. And there is a rule that allows a litigant to try to move the jurisdiction, or I should say the venue of the case, from one county to another once the party lives there. And in this case, the plaintiff lived in had moved from Hudson County to Monmouth County, and the defendant was still living in Italy. So apparently there was an adjournment, and during that time, the defendant moved from Rome to Milan, Italy. And then she filed an application in a court in Milan. So this is a former wife. There was the marital settlement agreement. The former wife had primary custody of the child. There was an arrangement where the child went back and forth from New Jersey to Italy. And then the defendant mother filed a motion seeking an order regarding custody and parenting time, and she also filed a response to her former husband's motion, and she sought a change of venue to Milan, Italy. So there was a comprehensive oral opinion that the judge in Hudson County granted. She considered the motion to be a request for the court to decline to exercise jurisdiction over the party's post-judgment proceedings as inconvenient under the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction and Enforcement Act. She made detailed findings supporting her conclusion that the child has a significant continuing connection to New Jersey. And this was the form, of course, meaning forum, F-O-R-U-M, forum, which the dual judgment of divorce was entered, and that incorporated the party's agreement. And as a result, the trial judge concluded that the court retains exclusive continuing jurisdiction under the statute. And apparently, additionally, the judge carefully analyzed each of the factors set forth in the statute and concluded, based on all of the factors, that the child and jurisdiction should remain here. Not the child necessarily, but meaning that the parties had reached an agreement as to the time that the child spent with each of them. So after all of the factors and looking at all the factors, concluded that New Jersey is not an inconvenient forum and that Italy is not a more convenient forum than New Jersey. And the judge also found that New Jersey rather than Italy is the better forum to construe and govern the issues in this matter under New Jersey law, which was contemplated by the agreement. So the judge determined that New Jersey would continue to exercise jurisdiction. Now, the second thing was whether or not venue should remain in Hudson County or Monmouth County. And the judge concluded that the change of venue to Monmouth County was warranted pursuant to a different rule of court. And that rule provides that a change of venue may be ordered in family post-judgment motions if both parties reside outside the county of original venue and application is made to the court by either party to change venue to a county where one of the parties now resides. And there were other things that the court denied. Now, in this situation, the plaintiff appealed from portions, no, excuse me, the defendant, former wife, appealed from portions of the order denying her motion to transfer the matter to Italy and granting her former husband's motion to change venue to Monmouth County. So the court went in to talk about what their role is, meaning the appellate court, the role of the appellate court in every situation when there's an appeal. And one of the things about family matters is there is a case that specifically states that family courts' special jurisdiction and expertise in family matters require appellate courts to accord deference to family court fact-finding. And went on to say in this case, that they do not disturb factual findings and legal conclusions of the trial judge unless they're convinced that they are so manifestly unsupported by or inconsistent with competent, relevant, and reasonably credible evidence as to offend the interests of justice. That's pretty difficult for the appellate division to overcome or say a judge has to be, the decision has to be remanded or changed. Not the final decision, but the factual findings and the legal conclusions. The court does not overturn factual findings and legal conclusions as long as they're competent, relevant, and reasonably and based on reasonably credible evidence. So that is very, very significant. And sometimes, people who want to file appeals don't understand the limited role of the appellate division. So that's the court here, of course, upheld the trial judge. And one would have expected that to happen. So there's another case again. This was, in fact, an estate case. Kind of interesting, different. The estate of Terry N. Fasano. And so and it was, in this case, against Gail Fasano. And not what you might think of the plaintiff and defendant were not married. It was the fact that the defendant and the, well, I shouldn't say that. The, I guess because I might be confusing. Terry Fasano and Gail Fasano were in fact married. But this is his estate that's the plaintiff in this case. So that the late Terry Fasano and Gail Fasano were married, and they were married and divorced, married in 1970, divorced in 2007. And they also had three children who were all emancipated at the time the court entered the judgment of divorce. And the parties had a property settlement agreement, not marital settlement agreement, but property settlement agreement. And I don't remember when I first heard the term marital settlement agreement, but it certainly wasn't in 1970. So in any event, their property settlement agreement addressed and resolved all of the issues associated with the dissolution of the marriage. And it was incorporated into the judgment of divorce. So then what happened? So the Terry, meaning the husband, Terry Fasano, former husband, died on April 27, 2017. And at the time of her death, she was married to Diane, and I can't pronounce the last name, but it doesn't make any difference, who became the executrix of her estate and the beneficiary of life insurance policies. Sorry, I know I'm getting everybody confused with these names, including myself. But in any event, when Terry Fasano died, she was married to Diane, who became the executrix of her estate and also the beneficiary of a life insurance policy in the amount of $306,000. Now, the defendant in this case, Gail Fasano, filed an application in the Chancery Division to temporarily restrain the plaintiff's estate from doing anything with respect to the assets of the estate and also imposing a constructive trust over the assets of the estate in the amount of at least $240,000 based on the decedent's failure to maintain a life insurance policy naming the defendant as beneficiary, and also preserving any claims that could be transferred before the general equity. So this is where our courts, we have to be a little careful, because there's always a question of, in a case like this, where to file the case. But in this case, the family part granted the order to show cause, which was filed without notice. It was filed ex parte. And the family part temporarily enjoined the decedent's estate. The judge also required the estate's representative to appear before the family part and show cause why the estate should not be held responsible for violating the defendant's rights under the PSA, Property Settlement Agreement, based on the decedent's willful failure to maintain a life insurance policy as provided by the final judgment of divorce. Now, what I will say is it's very common in marital settlement agreements to require somebody who's paying alimony to maintain life insurance. So that's the situation that came up here. And we'll talk a little bit more about it, but I want to play some spots from our sponsors.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-888-888. 803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Okay, we're back, and NAMI is a great organization, either in Spanish or English, and that was their message to people who speak, or I guess I should say understand Spanish. Another organization that I wanted to talk about is the Volunteer Guardianship One-on-One. We've had representatives from the board on the radio, and I hope we'll do that again. But I wanted just to give everybody notice, advance notice, kind of a shout-out, that there's going to be a barn dance this year sponsored by Volunteer Guardianship One-on-One. It's going to be on October 12th at the Buffalo Farm on 523. And I was at the barn dance last year, very successful. There were probably 150 to 180 people there. Great band, really good food, kind of food you'd expect at a barn dance. There were dancers there to help people learn how to do the kind of square dancing that is so popular, at least in the West, in the Midwest. And it was altogether a fun night, very informal, good thing to come out with a few friends, and really inexpensive compared to anything else you can do. I know that there will be beer and wine and good food, and as I think the ticket is about $40, so it's not going to break the bank. There will also be a 50-50. In fact, time to buy tickets. You don't have to be there if you win. I'm one of the people who, in fact, are selling tickets if anybody's interested. Tickets are $10, and a 50-50 means that whatever amount is collected, the charity, which is Volunteer Guardians One-on-One, will get 50%, and the lucky winner will get the other 50%. So I hope everybody goes out and buys tickets, and wish everybody good luck. But, of course, I'd rather win. In any event, come enjoy the night at the Square Dance, and that is October 12th. I know that Volunteer Guardianship has a website. Sorry, don't ask me what it is. I know I should know that. Talk to me, call me if you have any questions about it, because I can at least fill you in, because I have a great secretary. Or I should say assistant, and she's the one who's on top of all of this information. So going back again, as I said, there was this situation dealing with an estate. So again, the question is, the proceeds of the decedent's policy, and denied a request to reduce a certain figure, and, of course, denied the request to compel defendant to pay counsel fees, and the defendant now appealed, arguing that the family part misconstrued the property settlement agreement and misapplied the holding and reasoning in cases, New Jersey cases, when it denied her application to enforce the provision that required decedent to maintain life insurance for at least $240,000, naming her as a sole beneficiary. So now the estate argued that the decision was properly balanced and on settled principles of contract law with the equitable considerations that the court has endorsed in prior litigation, prior counsel. A prior case. So what the court did is that they said they were satisfied that the family part judge misconstrued the nature of the legal controversy in this case and consequently reached a legally incorrect conclusion. So they reversed the court's ruling, remanded the matter for the court to make specific factual findings and thereafter fashion an appropriate remedy. So the interesting that they go on and talk about the agreement. They talk about the specific information. It was interesting because apparently Terry married Diane after her divorce from the defendant, and by the time Terry reached the age of 65, she had been paying the defendant $3,000 alimony on a monthly basis for 6 years. So the record shows that Terry emailed her matrimonial attorney to determine whether she could remove the defendant as a beneficiary of her life insurance policy. The attorney responded that under the certain section of the property settlement agreement, that her obligation to support defendant, and this is a quote, ceases at your attorney age 65. And that was, the reasoning was because she could collect on half of her pension. And the attorney said, you don't have to maintain the policy at that point. So acting on counsel's advice, Terry sent out an email on December 1st directing the benefits administrator of her employer to begin the process towards retiring as of 6/30/2017, with pension benefits to begin on July 1st of 17. So she did make it clear that her pension was subject to a quadro, however you want to say it, qualified domestic relations order, and that she intended to have 100% joint and survivor annuity to her current spouse, who was then 69 years old. Now, unfortunately, Terry was sorry, I'm just kind of reading there. So apparently she suffered a debilitating stroke that prevented her from entering into the workforce. So that was the end of her work. And she was put on disability and died a few months before disability would have kicked in. So at the time, she was 68 years old, and she still hadn't received the documentation required to finalize her retirement. I think some of the rest of this is not really that relevant. But it is important, and what this should show is the importance of drafting a very clear property settlement agreement, especially if you have any kind of assets that would be part of an estate. So often, and I think we all do it to some extent, you know, we finally get the case settled. We think we have put everything on the record, but honestly, we don't know. And there's no one in the office to check the old files. And so, you know, this attorney did the best possible, in my opinion. So what else is happening? Well, as I said, there, we talked to you about a couple cases. There was a superior court judge who filed a malicious prosecution suit in federal court over what she called a 5-year nightmare that followed her arrest by Woodbridge police. On the charge of hindering apprehension of her former boyfriend. So that should certainly be interested in the lawyers and perhaps, well, I would say for now, just the lawyers and the ones that were involved in the case. We have two new judges confirmed to the Superior Court. It doesn't really affect us, unless they get transferred to Hunterdon County. There's always seems to be some medical malpractice. There was a case, Landau versus Landau, interesting to those of us who are attorneys or possibly geeks from another planet. And I thought I brought Landau because that is, I think, very interesting to show people what can happen even when you think you have a will. Yep, found it. Or I should say located it. This was a case where it really deals with cohabitation, but it really is procedural. So what happened here is the former husband, who was paying a lot of alimony, he applied to the court to suspend or terminate alimony based on cohabitation, meaning his former wife's cohabitation, following the 2014 amendments to the alimony statute. Anyone who is paying alimony should, in fact, take a look at that new statute, NJSA 2A:34-23. And what the court did say in this case, because what happened is he filed a motion, the former wife responded, objected, saying that, yes, she had a boyfriend, but they weren't cohabiting. And that really is the problem in New Jersey because, you know, when does dating fall into the cohabitation rhetoric? Very interesting. I think my fellow attorneys would say that we've heard all kinds of stories with respect to the former wife who's getting alimony, doesn't want to give up the alimony. The former husband is outraged because he's paying support to support a man who happens to be living with his wife. So if you can take a look at those two opposites, the question is, when does dating become cohabitation? Because obviously in this case, the case name is Fusco versus Fusco. I'm sorry. That was the other case I was talking about. This case is Landau versus Landau, and it was, in fact, approved for publication yesterday. So it's David Scott Landau and Stacy Landau. And this is before Judges Fuentes, Accurso, and Veronia. And Judge Accurso in the appellate division wrote the opinion. I have a great deal of respect for Judge Accurso. And so that, it's a well-written opinion, and in fact, it's something like 17 or 18 pages, 18 pages. So bottom line, if first of all, the most important thing is to really specify what the agreement is with respect to the person who's getting alimony if they get, what they have to do in order to get thrown off, what my male clients would tell me, thrown off the dole. But with all due respect, I mean, if people have been married for many, many, many years and the wife has always been a homemaker, she's not going to be able to go out and jump into a job that makes as much as most people have in the way of spending power. So she will try to, in every way, keep the alimony coming. Of course, it's the husband's goal, in most cases, to terminate it. And so what happens is there's this fight as to who's right. Is it dating or is it cohabitation? Now, we did have an amendment to the alimony statute in 2014. And so that was one of the things that the court had to deal with. Was this because it was granted without either party really saying why? They don't have to, which is generally fine. You don't want to hear everybody's regurgitation of everything that went on over the last 20 years. So what happened is that the court went to the trial court. So what happened in this case is a former husband moved to terminate, suspend, or modify alimony. And what the court said is the defendant opposes the motion. Okay. Well, let's play a couple more spots.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, I'm back, and we're talking about this recently published, as of yesterday, approved for publication case, Landau versus Landau. And incidentally, this case was worth retaining attorneys to fight it because the plaintiff husband had agreed to pay the defendant wife $44,000 a month for the first 3 years after the divorce, and then until September 2017, so 2 years ago, and now, after that two-year period, has to pay her $40,000 a month for the next 4.5 years until March 2022. So obviously, if she's cohabitating, he wants to get this before the court, and he wants to make sure that his alimony would either be terminated or suspended, and that was why he filed the motion. And I think under the circumstances, any attorney would have certainly suggested he do so. There was a lot of reasons that he gave for the fact that this was a relationship tantamount to marriage. Now, what happened is, of course, and one would expect to happen, especially in a case where there was so much money at stake. If there had been just a few months, it might have been different. If it was substantially less, it easily could have been worked out. But in any event, what I consider this case is the full employment for private investigators. And why would I say this case is very supportive of private investigators? Well, I'm believing that because what happened in this case and what will happen in every case is what proof does the person who's paying alimony have that the recipient of the alimony, the issue is not doesn't need it, but the issue is what has the change of circumstances been? Is this simply a dating relationship, which is certainly allowed, and it's come up a number of times, and there are cases that, you know, show what the court needs to do and basically gives us as attorneys guidelines. So when I say it's full-time employment for investigators, because of the information needed, I can see that someone would stake out an investigator in front of the home. Let's assume it's the former wife's home. She's the one to pay it off. Not pay it off. She wants to continue to stay there. There might be something in the agreement that it has to be sold if she cohabits. But in any event, she's most worried about the alimony, because the alimony will most likely terminate, could be suspended, etc., but most likely will terminate. Therefore, she wants to do everything in her power that there is no cohabitation. And that's what she did in this case. And the former husband said, well, I've got all of these factual allegations, even though she's maybe not earning what she was expected to earn at Skadden Arps or one of the other New York firms. She's earning, she's earning probably enough to support herself, but certainly not in the lifestyle that the husband took on and the burden he took on. And somebody would say, well, why would you ever agree to $44,000 worth of alimony per month? Well, we don't know his financial circumstances. Also, if this, depending on when this happened, he can automatically deduct that amount. And so it, from a tax saving standpoint, there's a change of circumstances based on the fact that he will have to pay a lot more in taxes. Now, interestingly, we did not touch on that. We did not get to that in the earlier seminar. But I wanted to bring it to your attention because there has to be some very good planning. So, what else is happening? Sorry, I'm kind of lagging here. I think I may have mentioned that there were two attorneys confirmed to the Supreme Court. Let's see if there's anything else that seems interesting. Well, actually, I'm not seeing much. So why don't I just play the news, and we'll then come back with the weather, some things from our sponsors, and go right into the sports guys. So stay tuned.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Experts say nobody dominated the Democratic debates last night on ABC.
Former Vice President Joe Biden was challenged on his views on health care, race relations, and immigrant deportations under the Obama administration.
We didn't lock people up in cages. We didn't separate families.
The hottest exchange was with Julian Castro after he thought Biden misspoke about buying into his Medicare proposal.
You just said 2 minutes ago that they would have to buy in.
President Trump was criticized for his trade war with China by Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
I remember President Trump scoffed and said he'd like to see me making a deal with Xi Jinping. I'd like to see him making a deal with Xi Jinping.
And he was criticized for not acting after a series of mass shootings from Senator Kamala Harris.
Obviously, he didn't pull the trigger, but he's certainly been tweeting out the ammunition.
Singer Eddie Money has died after a bout with cancer. Money was 70 years old. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. It's time to get in on the 21st century gold rush. I've been a buyer and collector of gold and precious metals for over 20 years, and the reasons to own it are stronger now than ever before in history. The central banks of the world are on a record buying spree. Shouldn't you be too? Do you think maybe they know something you don't? Prices are up $200 per ounce in just the last 60 days. In the last gold bull market, it took 4 years for gold prices to rise $200 per ounce. This is the beginning of an explosive new 21st century gold rush. Analysts see gold prices rising to between $2,000 and $10,000 per ounce. But who you buy it from may be even more important. Swiss America has been America's most trusted name in gold and silver for over 35 years. Swiss America has bought and sold billions of dollars of precious metals for tens of thousands of clients. You need to know how to capitalize and profit on this next big move. Call Swiss America today and receive a free special report just for my listeners. Call 800-BUY-COIN. That's 800-BUY-COIN. Or 800-289-2646. Or visit online at SwissAmerica.com.
The Trump administration has begun enforcing a tough new asylum policy that was affirmed by the Supreme Court on Wednesday. The new policy effectively denies asylum to all non-Mexican migrants who arrive at the southern U.S. border. A spokeswoman for Homeland Security says the policy will be retroactive to July 16th. The Trump administration initially announced the rule. Under the new rules, asylum will be denied to anyone arriving at the U.S.-Mexico border who did not seek asylum in the country or countries they passed through first. President Trump has put speculation to rest over his next national security advisor. He says Secretary of State Mike Pompeo will not take both jobs and replace John Bolton. The president says there are 15 people who want the job.
It's great because it's a lot of fun to work with Donald Trump, and it's very easy, actually, to work with him. You know why it's easy? Because I make all the decisions and I have to work.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
A growing number of Americans fear they or a loved one will become a victim of a mass shooting. USA's John Clemens reports.
Gallup took the telephone survey that was conducted from August 15th to the 30th in a random sampling of almost 2,300 adults. They found 48% of the respondents were very or somewhat concerned about themselves or a family member being a victim of a mass shooting. That 48% compares to 39% in 2017. Many of the respondents said the recent mass shootings led them to avoid public places like stores, restaurants, or churches, avoided events with large crowds such as concerts, festivals, or sporting events. 13% indicated they purchased a gun or a special product to protect them in the event of a mass shooting. I'm John Clemens.
Forecasters continue to keep a close eye on potential Tropical Cyclone 9, which is now a cluster of showers and thunderstorms slowly organizing over the Bahamas. The tropical disturbance could move over the eastern waters of the Gulf of Mexico, or it could become more organized and move toward the Atlantic coast. The disturbance comes on the heels of Hurricane Dorian, a Category 5, which slammed into the northern Bahamas last week. If the system becomes a tropical storm, it would be called Humberto. Forecasters say torrential downpours are likely across the Bahamas and parts of Florida. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hey, Bill, before we start the sports guys, and this is Bill Wolfson and Pat Smits, two of your sports guys.
Good afternoon, folks.
Let's talk a little bit about this change in the weather.